Okay, welcome everybody. Welcome to CoreLite's Spiritual Weather Report call for December 2nd, 2018. And it's really wonderful to hear your voices as you call in and be with you today. Leslie and I are here together in South Africa. And it's nighttime here, and we've had power outages. It's kind of crazy. We've had power outages every day, and I was worried I wasn't going to be able to be with you today. And Barbara was all poised and ready to lead the call if I couldn't make it in. But through a series of miracles, we've got power for the internet, and power and internet, excuse me. So anyway, I'm really happy to be here with you. It felt very important. I'm really sorry that we missed last month, but we had our all-student conference in November, so we couldn't do the regular scheduled call. But anyway, I greet you and I welcome you, and I'm just delighted that we can all be here together and reconnect. So much has happened since we gathered in October. In October, if you remember, we talked about the power of the feminine. And isn't it amazing what happened in the U.S. elections in November? There were over 100 women elected to Congress. It makes me all choked up when I talk about it. I know, including a lot of women of color and some Muslim women, and the youngest person ever, it was a 28-year-old woman. And anyway, I just feel like it's really important to acknowledge this. You know, that the power of the feminine is rising. And this is really so much of what our work is about now, is balancing this power of the masculine and the feminine within us. And as we all do that, it's going to be manifesting in the outer world. We're going to see the power of the feminine rising to balance out with the masculine. Such an important topic for our times, you know, as we complete this cycle of 6,000 years of patriarchy and enter the beginning of the new paradigm of the heart. So we talked about that a lot before, and I don't want to get too much into it tonight. We could talk all night about it, but just to acknowledge it, and I just want to thank everybody for showing up for this work. It feels so important that we're all doing this inner work. And I honor, acknowledge all of you who have the courage, both men and women, to stand up for the yin power, the feminine power. And also, before we start our call, I just want to acknowledge all of the people and the animals and the nature that have been affected by the fires in California. I've followed those stories a little bit, even though I've been traveling. I haven't been in the U.S. much, But boy, the amount of destruction, the level of the suffering, and the volume of the sad stories that have come out, and the deeply moving stories that have come out of those incidents. You know, many people were killed, and so much destruction happened that I would like to dedicate our call tonight to specifically the humans and animals and nature, which were affected there, but also all over the world by the extreme weather. We've been doing this for the last while because it seems like every month there's some place in the world that is affected by some extreme weather event. So I invite you all to join in the dedication tonight or today. It's morning for you, I know, but in South Africa it's pitch dark here. I invite you to dedicate your meditation and your prayers today to all of those beings affected by the extreme weather, especially the fires in California. And I confess that I'm not really watching or reading the news a lot lately. So, Barbara, I don't know, do you know, is there anywhere else that's experiencing anything extreme? Please forgive me, everybody, if I'm missing something major. I apologize.
You know, I know there have been major storms across the country, Brad, but you know, I'm not aware. The rains have really come, so they have put out the fires, but there's a lot of mudslides, and since there's no more vegetation to hold on to the earth, so prayers are still continuing to be needed for these areas, both in Southern and Northern California.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Yeah, it's been quite a time for California especially. So we hold California in our thoughts and prayers. And also here in South Africa, I can tell you it's extreme weather here. We just finished the winter. We're in springtime. And normally, winter is the dry season where there's no rain, and then the rains usually begin in October or early November, and there still hasn't really been any rain. So everything is just bone dry here. The animals and plants are suffering tremendously. So I think all over the world, nothing is predictable anymore in terms of weather, which is a reflection of the consciousness that we're all, the collective consciousness that we're all affected by and participating in. So let's just keep that in mind, and we'll hold all of that in our dedication tonight, today. And as I said, Leslie is with us. She is already in meditation, and she is transmitting Shakti to all of us. I'm really delighted to be here. I just arrived. I'm going to be here together. Leslie and I will be together for 6 months, which is, we're both delighted about that. And throughout the call today, Leslie will remain in silence and give this transmission. So we invite all of you to be meditative throughout the call and receive Leslie's transmission. Just relax and go yin and receive. Even when we're in discussion, you can still be meditative and receive. And whether you're with us live today or listening to this recording, I know many people listen to the recording afterwards, and it doesn't matter. As you know, we've talked about this before, we're all part of a field. We're all connected, and time and space don't really exist except in the third dimension. So we invite everybody to tune in to these other levels beyond time and space, where we're all connected in the unity. The Core Light community is bound by a tie of love. We're all connected in the heart. And we all receive this transmission of light that comes through during these calls. It's not just Leslie transmitting it. It's a field that we all participate in, and we generate it together, even if you're not with us live. So that's just a reminder for most of you. I know there are some probably new people on the call with us today, but just so you all know as well, I like to share that with everybody. So without further ado, let us begin our call with a guided meditation. And if you're multitasking, which I know most of you need to, I invite you at this point to just pause for a few moments. This is a perfect time to pause. Give yourself a gift of relaxation for a few minutes where you're not doing, but you're just being. And I'll talk us through a little guided meditation to relax and unwind and receive the light and the Shakti. So I invite you to get comfortable and close your eyes and take some long, deep breaths. Wherever you are, whether you're sitting or lying down or reclining, just really breathe deeply, long, slow, deep breaths, and let go. Just completely let go of any stress or tension you might be feeling. Breathing is such a powerful exercise to help us relax. There's a physiology. When we breathe long and slow, it affects the vagus nerve, which is a big, long nerve that runs down the center of the body and has tentacles that stretch out throughout the body. And it's what helps us to really relax. And it's triggered by the breathing. So give yourself that gift right now of just continuing long, slow inhales. Breathe right down into your diaphragm. Fill yourself up and up and up and up. And then slowly release. Slowly exhale and unwind. And I'd like you to visualize an invisible being, invisible light being, standing behind you with beautiful strong hands massaging your scalp and your shoulders. Feel the deep relaxation that comes as this being gives you the best massage you've ever had in your life. Soothing your scalp and your brow. Letting that relaxation, that warmth, and that blissful energy roll down your body, roll down your face, pouring over you like honey, relaxing all the muscles in your face, your brow and your eyes, your nose, your cheeks and your mouth, your ears, your jaw. Just letting it all relax and let go. And especially, let's relax the back of the tongue. If you can relax the back of the tongue, you relax a whole region. The back of the head, the neck, shoulders. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. Remembering your breathing, relaxing your upper arms, lower arms, wrists and hands, fingers, feeling that honey pouring over you and relaxing all the muscles it touches, the torso, the chest, upper back. Just letting go, your underarms, your stomach, your lower back, your pelvis, pouring down over your body, sliding down and gently relaxing all the muscles, the psoas muscles, the buttocks, thighs and hamstrings, knees, lower legs, ankles, feet, and toes. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. And now I'll be quiet for a moment while you scan yourself from head to toes and breathe light and relaxation into any place where you're still holding on to any tension. So I invite you now to continue your breathing, long, slow, deep breaths, and I invite you now to put your attention in the cave of Brahman. And if you've been with us a long time, you know where that is. If you're new, that's a place right in the center of the head. It's a few inches back from the third eye, which is the spot between the eyebrows. And if you draw an invisible line back from there, the spot between the eyebrows, and then you draw another line, invisible line, between your ears, where those two lines intersect is the center of your head. And there's a mystical place in the subtle body there called the Cave of Brahman, Brahman being one of the names of God. It's the place where the pineal, pituitary, and hypothalamus reside. It's a kind of a magic place where when you put your attention there, thought stops. You feel a sense of peace, calm inside. Everything quiets down in the body when you find that place. Sometimes it takes a few moments to find it. If you can't find it, that's okay. You just set your intention that that's what you'd like. And eventually you'll find that you discover that place, and you'll know it when you find it. Because you feel a very deep relaxation in this place. So put your attention there. Let's just hold that together for a few moments. When you find this place, there's a certain yin quality that permeates the body, yin being the receptive quality. And you simply can let go. You can imagine your body like a light bulb. When you screw the light bulb into the ceiling socket, your body, like the light bulb, just hangs from that place. And so you can just let go, relax, and hang, being held up by the invisible realms, celestial beings who surround us. When you go yin, receptive, feel the Shakti transmission that Leslie's sending from here in South Africa. There is no time and space, even though we're separated by great distances physically. There is no distance, really. It's as if she's in the same room with you. So feel that beautiful, loving, blissful energy pouring into you from above, from all around you, from beneath. Just let go of any worries about the past or the future. Anything you might be thinking about, it can wait for a few minutes. Just let it go. The world will wait for a few minutes while you fill yourself up with light and don't think about anything. I invite you to also open your crown chakra. It's known as the thousand-petaled lotus on top of the head. And watch the petals unfurling one by one, opening up and out. It's a conical-shaped vortex opening up and out above your head. Consciously will your crown to open, petal by petal, opening up. Receive the light that's pouring down on us. Beautiful, visualize a beautiful golden white light raining down from the celestial realms, filling you up. Filling up your body, filling up your aura. beautiful, warm, blissful energy, this golden white light, like a mist or a rain coming down. Feel every cell in your body like a miniature sponge soaking up this light, trillions and trillions of cells soaking up this beautiful golden energy. It's like pure sunshine filling you up. The light of the Creator, the love of the Creator. Let it fill you up so much that fills up your arms, your hands, and your fingers, so that light shoots out your fingertips, filling up your body so much that it fills up your legs and your feet and toes. The light shoots out the tips of your toes. Just receive this beautiful gift that's been given by the universe. You're actually giving it to yourself. Feel it pouring over your back, rolling down your neck and shoulders, down your back like a wave, washing away any tension, any shadow, any stress, any worries, any burdens you might be carrying, any old patterns or limitations, just washing them all away. We tend to carry our burdens on our shoulders and our back, metaphorically speaking, so just let them wash away right now. You don't need to carry them anymore. Just feel them washing right away. Feel how much lighter you become. Oh, breathe. Big deep sigh of relief. Let that go. And now let's drop our attention down the center meridian of the body, the Sushumna, which is the core of light that corresponds to the spine. Sushumna in Sanskrit, part of the subtle body, and just let your awareness drop down all the way down to your root chakra at the base of the spine, the perineum between the anus and the genitals. Feel how when you put your attention there on the root chakra, you feel automatically there's a relaxation and an opening that happens there. Just relax into that, letting go. And drop your grounding cord down into the earth, connect with the core of the earth. And feel yourself being anchored to the earth through your grounding cord. And feel gravity pulling you towards the center of the earth. But yet, your chair and the floor, wherever you're sitting or lying, supports you. And just feel that. Feel where your body touches your chair or the floor. Just be with that connection. Feel the grounding and the support that it provides you. This is our Mother Earth. Just relax into the mother, to mother's arms, like a little baby. Feel her cradling you as you really completely let go, surrender to her. Just let gravity pull you right down into her arms. So good to relax and let go. Such peace when we really let go. The peace that passes all understanding. May it be with each of us today. Now draw the earth energy back up into your body through the soles of your feet. Bring it up into the body, up, back up the legs, up to the root chakra, and up the Sushumna, up the core, balancing and healing each chakra as we move this energy past each chakra, past the navel chakra, solar plexus, the heart. Let's pause at the heart and feel for a moment, feel the love. Feel the love in the heart. And let's all put a smile on our faces, even if you have to cheat. If you're not feeling happy, it's okay. But really, if you tap into that energy of the heart, you're going to smile naturally. But they have discovered that when you smile, there's a physiological response that releases serotonin, endorphins, and all those wonderful chemicals in the brain that make you happy. So smiling is a wonderful way to just open the heart and feel the love and joy. And it's okay if you're really in a very difficult place and you can't feel it, that's okay. Not asking you to be a joy Nazi and try to override what you're feeling, but it really is delightful when you can just tap into that heart energy and feel the love and the joy. And there is a way to cheat, you know, to just smile and put your energy there in the heart. So do that if you're able. I know many people are going through a hard time, and sometimes you don't feel like this, but other times it's a real antidote to the trouble that you experience, so-called trouble. While we hang out here in the heart, I invite you to visualize all of us standing in a circle holding hands from all over the world. Dozens of people from all over the world holding hands, and let's put our hearts right into the center of the circle and merge our hearts together into the love that we share, the one heart. Feel the love of the Core Light community. I know many of you know each other, and some of you don't know each other, but that's okay. If you're on this call, you're here for a reason. There's no accident. So if you're new or if you don't know everybody, that's okay. Just know that you're with a community of love and light, and there's plenty to share. So we're here to share with you. We invite you in to share this love, share this circle of light and love, heart energy. So while we hold this together, we hold the heart energy together in the center of our circle, the one heart. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, Self that we all are. We call on all of the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. All the beings we know and all the beings we don't know. We invite you in. We open the circle today. We ask that you please surround us. Please fill us up. Wrap us in a cocoon of light and love. bring us into the one heart and let us experience that which we truly are, which is the love and the light of Spirit. We give such great thanks for this opportunity to be here on this beautiful planet, in these beautiful bodies that we get to wear for a few short years, and then we slip them off like an overcoat. We're just so grateful that we get this experience and that we get to share this time with each other. We share the love, share the light with each other. It's not easy right now. I know most people are going through such a challenging time on this planet, probably most of us on this call. If you're not, consider yourself blessed. But there's a lot of challenge going on. We're going to talk about it. So just feel this love, feel this light, and really fill up today while we're on this call, because it's here. It's here for all of us to fill up with. Just know that you're not alone. You're not alone through this challenge time, this challenging time. And we give great, great thanks for this opportunity, for the love that we share. Aho. And I invite you now to slowly bring your attention back into the room where you're sitting and into your body. When you feel ready, slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes. Open your eyes, feeling deeply relaxed, full of love and joy and light. Okay. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Barbara, are we still, is the volume still okay and everything all right?
Everything is beautiful, Brad. Thank you so much for that exquisite meditation. I'm just feeling so deeply connected with all of the community and was so filled with grace. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Gosh, what a pleasure for me. I just love, it's one of my favorite things to do is to lead that meditation and feel how connected we all are. It's amazing, isn't it, that we can be separated by so much distance and
yes,
still feel that connection that we share, the love.
It's
so beautiful. Yeah. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. Just a few short things to say before we begin our topic for the day. There's lots to share, and we'll talk for a little while, and then we'll open up to questions and answers and sharing at the end of the call. But first, I just wanted to mention we have not set the times yet for the next Spiritual Weather Report calls in 2019, so please stay tuned by email. We'll be sending that out. We'll let you know when we're going to gather in the new year. Same with the Squares calls, which Barbara leads these Squares calls, which is processing for the people enrolled in the courses and the graduates. And the next one is Sunday, December 16th, but we don't have any scheduled for the new year yet. What I was going to say is that, as we all know, if you've been with us for a little while, you know that Barbara has stepped out on her own to teach. She's got her own website now, and she's teaching on her own. And we thought this meant that she was actually going to be leaving the Core Light and leaving this position that she's in here, collaborating with me and the Core Light teachers. And the more we talk about it, the more we wonder if that's true. We're kind of feeling like there's some other collaboration that's coming that we haven't seen yet. So for now, we just wanted you to know not to worry. Barbara's probably going to be sticking around at least for January till we figure things out. Is there anything you want to say about that, Barbara?
Yes. You know, I'm just really so feeling into it. And you started the call today, Brad, talking about the divine feminine. and our call in October, and it just feels to me that there is a great rise with the divine feminine, and there's a balance that's wanting to take place between the divine feminine and the divine masculine. And, you know, you and I are looking at ways of collaborating. And so I feel like this doorway is an opening for new beginnings. So my great love is Core Light and Leslie and you. And it has been such a gift for me in my life. And, you know, I couldn't imagine not being a part of Core Light in some capacity or other. So I'm really excited about the new year and what that might bring for each and every one of us. So I love you dearly, Brad and Leslie and Core Light and all of our exquisitely beautiful community. So I'm excited.
Thank you, Barbara. And right back at you. I love you so much. Leslie loves you. And we're just so delighted that it does feel like, you know, there's some collaboration wanting to happen here. And we'll see what that is. And I agree with you. We're holding some kind of masculine-feminine balance here, the two of us, on these calls and probably other things we're going to be doing together. So just deeply grateful that you had the courage to stand up and say, you know, I'm teaching now on my own. And now we see that that doesn't necessarily exclude Core Light. So it's fantastic, I think.
Yes. Oh, and I just got such goosebumps on that, Brad. You know, it really is about stepping up and stepping into the truth of who we are, each and every one of us. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. Deep, deep gratitude to you for all you do for Core Light, for running the squares calls and helping with these calls and everything else that you do with the Spiritual Warriors.
Thank you.
Yeah. So let's just move on. I wanted to lastly just mention I'm leading a number of sacred site retreats next year. You've probably seen the emails, but just so you know, the Egypt trip in November of next year filled up. It's full, and we've got a waiting list, so that one's no longer available. But if you were interested, you can be on the waiting list. And then there's still journeys to England. It's called an Avalon trip. It's the heart of the goddess, a pilgrimage to mystical Avalon in the sacred British Isles, and that's with Lina Burnson and Catherine Woodeman and me. We're leading that May 12th through 24th. Please join us. There are a couple of retreats in Greece. One is June 18th through July 3rd. It's called Balancing Masculine and Feminine. And then there's one in Crete, in the island of Crete, called Restoring the Power of the Feminine. And I'm leading that with my friend Cynthia Jurs. That's September 8th through 24th. We're about to announce that one. We haven't sent the brochure out for that yet, but it should be coming out in the next week or two. And these are all posted on Core Light's website. So if you want more information about those, just go to corelight.org and look under events and you'll find them. We'd love to have you join us for these. They're truly trips of a lifetime, all of these. And if you've never been on one with us, please consider coming. So today's topic, let's launch into today's topic. I got really excited when I thought about this call today because there's so much to share. A couple of things I wanted to share. The first thing is an experience I had when I arrived in the U.S. and when I left the U.S. In the last 3 months. I came in August and I left in November. So I want to share that with you. The second thing is just to talk about the energy that's what's happening right now in the world. It's so intense. It's accelerating so much like never before. And I know we say this often in these calls, but it is continuing. It's building. It's been building for a long time. So we're going to talk about that. So anyway, the first thing, the experience that I had when I arrived in the U.S. in August was I felt this wall of emotion. It was a collective it's hard to describe, so I'm going to do my best to describe it, but I felt a collective emotion like a wall that literally hit me coming into the country. And I can only describe it, the first layer of it was fear, and the second layer was anger. So very closely connected, and below that is the whole downward spiral. It was so intense when I entered the country that I thought, oh my goodness, I had been out of the country for a while, and for 6 months, I think, and I suddenly realized this is going to be challenging to be here for however long. I didn't even know how long I would be there. And I made a vow to myself when I entered the U.S. and felt that, I thought, all right, I'm going to stay in my witness. This is an exercise, and I'm going to stay in my witness and remember that there's something specifically affecting this country, specifically fear and anger. And I have to say, it wasn't kind of normal. I mean, I'm sensitive enough, and I've worked with Leslie enough for over 25 years that I can feel energy pretty clearly. And I'm aware of what fear and anger feel like in the body when it's not yours, you know, when it hits you at a collective level or when somebody else is experiencing it. I know what that feels like. And this was something slightly different, and it's hard to describe, but it was almost as though it was artificial. It's almost like if that energy could be being beamed at us from somewhere, that's kind of how it felt, like a ceiling surrounding the country. And again, I'm struggling for words here. I really don't know what this is about, but it's all I can tell you, that I feel like, you know, we're all, most of us on this call are from the U.S., so forgive me if you're from another country. I know that each country has its own flavor of this particular shadow. We're all experiencing it all over the world right now. It's everywhere. But I want to just talk about the U.S. for right now, because it is kind of an epicenter, I think, for the world at the moment for a lot of things. And since I was just there and had the experience, I'll talk about this. But it applies to every country. You'll have to feel what the shadow is for your country if you're from somewhere else. But in the U.S., it's this fear and this anger, and it's almost like, you know, we're all participating in it. It's like the water that the fish swims in, and we don't even know it's there. And it's hard. It's really challenging on the body. That was my experience, was I felt I really had to focus on witnessing. And if you're new to the calls, when I say witnessing, what I mean is Leslie wrote a chapter in the Marriage of Spirit book about the witness. And it's that part of us that observes neutrally, that we see our world from this place of a neutral, balanced witness that doesn't let the emotions and the flipping of the flipping and flopping of dualities affect us. We feel it, but we realize that we are not that. We are spirit. We are souls having a human experience. And these emotions and these polarities are passing through us. So I really kicked into high gear when I felt this really intense wall of fear and anger. And I thought, okay, this is it. This is our opportunity to not let this get to us and not buy into it. And when it's that strong in the collective, it's a challenge. It's a really serious challenge. So I think when we're in that water, like the fish, we don't realize it. We don't realize that we're swimming in those emotions all the time. And we can tend to let it affect us. For example, a fear vibration might affect us with worry. You know, we might find ourselves worrying about things all day long and not realizing it. Unless you consciously activate that witness and you get the sense that you're tending to worry about things or get frustrated about things, the anger could affect you and you might start snapping at people or getting angry at life for presenting challenges to you or whatever it is. So I guess I wanted to share this with you just I feel like it's a valuable perspective from somebody who's been outside coming in and saying and able to see. And this happens, you know, anytime if you travel, you know what I'm talking about. You know that when you enter a country, it's an opportunity to feel the vibration of that country because it's new and different to where you were. And if you're sensitive, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I won't belabor the point, but I guess the invitation here for all of us is to witness, especially fear and anger, and not let not become it, to not let it affect you in that way. Yes, feel it. If you need to feel it, do. I'm not talking about spiritual bypassing where you're suppressing fear and anger. You know, you're feeling it and letting it pass through. You're naming it, processing it, whatever you need to do to let it pass through your body. The other thing that I felt that I want to name besides the fear and anger was division. I felt this like a stirring of energies, a purposeful stirring of energies to try to divide everybody. So dividing black from white, dividing rich from poor, dividing masculine from feminine, dividing Americans from so-called foreigners, other polarities. But this purposeful division, a lot of it comes through the media, but I feel it's something to really be conscious of, that we don't want to buy into that. Now is the time to really witness this stirring. And again, I do feel it's purposeful. I'm not advocating that we get paranoid, you know, not try to get fearful of conspiracy theories and that sort of thing. But I think it's only prudent to be aware that there is a conscious effort on the part of some, including the media, to divide us and to push us down into the shadow, into the negative side. And large populations are much more easily controlled when they're divided and stuck in negative states. So when I talk about this, I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that we're victims. I'm not saying that something's wrong. There's a perfection to this. You know, we all incarnated at this time knowing that we were going to be in this, that it wasn't going to be easy. And this is our greatest challenge, perhaps, is to overcome victim consciousness. It would be very easy to buy into it right now, to say, oh yeah, you know, we're so oppressed and this is being really hard and all these terrible things are being done to us and our leaders are so awful, and pointing the finger, you know, there's not enough money, there's not enough whatever in my life. And we can, you know, we can easily go into the victim nowadays. And that is the key. We are being asked, our souls chose this opportunity to experience being victimized, but not buying into victim consciousness, not polarizing, becoming a victim oppressed by a tyrant. Rather, to see that this is the challenge we chose. It's a high degree of difficulty, yes, but we chose this so that we could transcend this third dimensional consciousness. The third dimensional consciousness is defined by the victim-tyrant polarity. And if you could name one process that's the key to leaving the third dimension and entering the new paradigm of the heart, which is where we're all going, it's this one. It's victim-tyrant polarity, or what we call victim consciousness. And if you've been around Corelight for a while, you know there's a lot more. I'm just scratching the surface here. There's a lot that we've unpacked over the years with Leslie, diving into what that's all about. So anyway, I could go on about this, but I think you get the point. I just wanted to share that experience with you in case it's helpful, to just remind everybody that we are like the fish swimming in the water, and the water's full of fear and anger and division right now and victim consciousness. So I invite you right now to make the commitment to not buy into that. Yes, to feel whatever you need to feel, not to suppress, but to allow it all to pass through you and to find the heart and move beyond victim tyrant scenarios. And the way we do that, as you know, is through forgiveness, through love, through choosing love, choosing the higher states, the ascended balance states, states of the heart, choosing generosity. This is a time of year when we give, and it's a time of year when we practice generosity, and it's such a wonderful way to enter the heart. So a beautiful opportunity for all of us this holiday season to remember the heart, to remember the love, share your generosity. Even if you don't have money to give to homeless people or charities, share your smile, share your love, share a kind act, do something. Gratitude is another way, you know, just remember how grateful we are to have so much abundance in the United States and most Western countries. There's so many poor people. I'm reminded of it here in South Africa all the time. There's a mass underclass here, and we can feel so incredibly grateful that we have food on the table and a roof over our heads and clothes to wear. So you know all these tricks if you've been around for a while. You know how to experience these heart states. And this is the time. This is really the time for it. I want to shift gears and just talk about the second thing on my list that I mentioned before, and that's just about what's happening right now in the world. And it's this, in what I called an intensity and an acceleration of that intensity and the great, great challenge of that. We talk about this almost every month, and yet if I didn't say this, I would not be doing everybody a justice here, simply because the last 2 months have been some of the most intense energies that I've ever felt in my life, and I know many people who wrote to me and said, I can't believe what's happening. What is this? You know, it's like I felt this way, and I know other people felt this way. I've come through the other side, but there was a moment where I thought, oh, my God, what is going on? Is this something I'm doing? Is this something in the collective? This seems like more than a process that I'm in. This seems like something's terribly wrong. And if this hasn't happened to you, consider yourself really blessed, because it happened to a lot of people. You might have had a taste of it. You might have had a small dose of it. So you might identify a little bit with what I'm saying. But it's like this building of an energy for a long time that reached a crescendo. And I just feel like talking about it so that everybody on this call who experienced that knows that you're not alone. There's no need for fear or panic or worry about it. You're not alone. There was something happening in the collective, and I feel like most of us have come through it. We're not quite done yet. I feel like there are a few more months. If you look at the astrology, if you look at what a lot of seers and teachers are saying, and this is what I feel as well, there are a few more months coming of this challenge, this energy of intensity. It's almost as though it feels like a certain amount of chaos in the air, which is like being stirred. It's like a big pot of chaos, and it's kind of being stirred. And the temptation is to resist it. The temptation is to react to it and say no and try to push it down and not feel it. But the truth is, when you look at it, it's made up of various ingredients that we all know well. And if we name them, it's very helpful. So I wanted to name them. In this kind of soup, it's confusion, it's the unknown, it's formlessness, uncertainty, a loss of control. There's a certain discomfort and uncomfortableness that comes from this. And it can also lead to worry and anxiety, as we discussed before. So I feel like to break this out into those descriptives is important, because when we break it out that way, we can say, all right, I know confusion. Confusion is okay. This is something I can live with. You know, being in the unknown and the formlessness is something that is not comfortable for me, but, you know, I can do it. I can get through this time. This too shall pass. And we'll be back in the form and the known. But right now we're not there. We're in this other place. And so the invitation to all of us, I think, is to not resist it, but to just sort of turn into the skid, as we've talked before. We talked about before, Leslie taught us about this long ago, turning into the skid, and remembering that while we're in this, it's okay. And that at the same time this is happening, there's also an anticipation of something big and new coming on the other side of it. So one way to get through it is to remember that if we focus on that, we focus more on the anticipation of something big and new that's a gift for us. It helps us get through the negativity that we might be feeling. To remember that this is an extraordinary opportunity for growth. It has been, we talk about this every month, I know, but it continues to be this extraordinary opportunity for growth. And it's the time when we have to remember to pull out all of our spiritual tools to get through the challenges. And if you've been following along, if you've been doing this work, you know, you're poised through for a breakthrough. You're poised to have a major awakening. That's how it feels to me anyway. It's coming for all of us. I feel like one of the common denominators I'm seeing for people at this time is, and this happened to me as well, it's a lot about knowing how to draw healthy boundaries. Saying no sometimes is really important. If it's something that might take too much of your time and you know you don't have the time, for example, if it's somebody who wants time with you that you know is just going to drain you and you simply don't have the energy to give, you might have to say no to that person. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to belabor this point, but I feel like this is a lot. It's been a lot of my lesson anyway, so I know that it's true for others as well, so I hope that helps. And lastly, before we open up to questions and sharing, I feel this is an enormous opportunity to let go of worry and fear. The chaos, the formlessness, the challenges, the acceleration, the intensity, all of this that's building tends to push us into the worry and the fear. And I feel like that's part of that collective thing that I was talking about before that I could feel. You know, this is our opportunity, really, to let go of that. We do not need to worry. It doesn't solve, it serves no purpose. Worry simply prevents us from feeling the joy of life. Worry just keeps us down. Worry is like a little tiny fear, right? So whenever we're in fear, we are not in love. You can't be in love and fear at the same time. So if you find yourself, if you're witnessing, if you're practicing witnessing, and you catch yourself in fear or worry, remember to snap out of it and put yourself back in your heart, feel the love, feel the joy, and just recognize that we're in the greatest test of our lives. We're in the greatest challenge, and we're poised for the greatest breakthrough in consciousness. Into opening the heart into the fourth and fifth dimensions. So, okay, that's all I had to share for today. Barbara, before we open up, is there anything that you'd like to share around this? I know you and I talked the other day and you had some insights that I thought would be helpful for people to know about. So what would you like to share with everybody?
Yeah, thank you, Brad, and so beautifully said, all that you are describing here. And as you were sharing, I was feeling that we, as a planet, as a collective, are going through a great purging. That was the word that was coming as you were describing what is happening. And I noticed that, you know, this part about diversity, that we're having a shift from this extreme diversity back into unity consciousness. And it's interesting that it's playing out still as a great divide. It's as if each side, and I'll just give the example in the U.S., you know, the Democrats versus the Republicans. The Republicans are starting to take a shift of pointing the finger at the Democrats and saying, you know, you're still trying to divide us, and we're needing to unify. So I'm feeling very encouraged, even though it's still a divide, that there's this shift in consciousness of, you know, all sides seeing that we need to come together. And we talked a little bit, Brad, about the astrology, and I am not an astrologer by any sense or means, but I, you know, definitely can feel the energy as it is shifting. And one of the things that I have been receiving from my guidance is about Nostradamus's predictions about this time in our evolution. And Nostradamus was alive during the 1500s, and there is a planetary aspect that is taking place with Pluto and Saturn that has not happened since Nostradamus was alive. And a lot of his predictions have actually manifested. He predicted Hitler's rise. He predicted 9/11. He also predicted the great fires and floods that are happening right now. And the piece to all of this is that he then predicted that once we were able to move through these extremely turbulent times, that there was going to be a golden age of peace, 2,000 years of peace. And the Native Americans also had this same prediction about moving through these extremely challenging and life-altering times, coming into this golden age of peace. And I won't get into all of the astrology right now. I don't think it's really necessary. But the one piece I will say is that Uranus, which is the great transformer, one of the outer planets, last April moved into its home sign of Taurus. And since that time, it is retrograded out of Taurus and back in a couple of times. And by April of 2018, it will permanently station direct in Taurus. And this is going to be an opportunity for huge co-creative opportunities in very unique ways that have never been experienced on this planet. So as we go through these times of great purging and feeling both collectively and personally all of these intense challenges, you know, I couldn't help but feel, as you were talking about worry, Brad, that it's the eighth key, the thymus chakra. And maybe it would be helpful for each of us, and I'm doing it right now, to tap on our thymus chakra. And the key to opening the thymus chakra is, don't worry, be happy. So it is this great trust that we're being asked to move into right now. And as you said, Brad, you know, and this too shall pass. It's a very exciting time, and we're really coming together in a most exquisitely beautiful way, even though these times are tremendously challenging for so many of us. So I think that's all I'm really wanting to share right now. I know that there are probably a lot of people who have much to offer as well. So I feel greatly encouraged. I can feel, like you were saying, Brad, a couple of these past months have been excruciatingly intense, but I am definitely feeling an opening here of energies in a way that haven't been felt in a very long time, if forever. So I'm hoping that I'm translating that to each and every one of you, and maybe there are many of you on the call who are starting to feel this shift as well.
So thank you, Barbara. Very well said. Very well said. I love the fact of keeping the big picture in mind that there will be 2,000 years of peace and a golden age, and we're not there yet. We're getting
there.
No,
we're not.
And this is like the how does it go? The darkest hour is before the dawn, and we're in the darkest hour. So
yes, we are.
Remember that there's a dawn coming. I mean, that's critical, you know. So I'm glad you spoke about that. Thank you.
Yes. And that last piece, Brad, that you mentioned that is so important, that's really coming through for this month of December especially, is to be kind. Be kind to ourselves and to each other during this darkest hour.
Yeah, you know, Barbara, you just reminded me, I was going to mention self-care.
Yes.
Self-care, you know, being kind to ourselves and caring for ourselves right now is critical. The temptation is to do self-sacrifice, you know, to push your boundaries, pull all-nighters, you know, forget your exercise or whatever it is that you normally do to take care of yourself. The temptation is to say, oh, well, I can just push that aside a little longer while I get this done. And really, we cannot do that right now. We have to do the self-care. It's critical. So, the invitation for all of us right now is, you know, we might have to let go of some stuff. We might have to just say no to certain things, prioritize our to-do list and only do the top two things or something, but remember to put the self-care up there at the top.
Yes, it's an old paradigm that we have, you know, carried for many thousands of years of doing this self-sacrifice and putting our personal needs last. We're not important. Everyone else matters. And it's to come into equality with all of it. We matter.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Barbara.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brad.
So shall we open up now? Let's open the mic to anybody who would like to share. If you have a question, if you want to share anything at all, this is our time. We have a lot of people on the call today, so I would request and invite you to say what you need to say, but let's remember to be as concise as possible so that everybody has a turn. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. So if you'd like to share, just to refresh your memory for those of you who have been on the call before and for those of you who have not, to let you all know, it's star 2 to raise your hand. And then I will also be checking on the Q&A board. So those of you who are on the web and who would like to ask questions or offer insights, I will be checking with you as well to see what you would like to share. So we have a hand raised, and I'm not sure. Gosh, forgive me. Is it Paul Jacobs? I'm sorry. I don't have a last name. Is it Paul?
Paul, yes. Did you unmute me?
Oh, good. I remembered. Yay. Hi, Paul. You have
Hi.
The mic.
Oh, thank you. Hey. So I just have a couple of pieces here that I want to share. The first is to remind what I think folks already know, which is that savior and rebel are an integral part of the victim-tyrant polarity. So sometimes it's easy to forget and get sucked into those other aspects of it. The second piece is, you know, it's my perception that what's happening now is the apocalypse. And if you go to the Greek, you know, in Greek, apocalypse means literally unveiling. So, you know, just stop and think for a minute about that. You know, what is it that's threatened by unveiling? And so you know, how is it that this apocalypse is such, you know, ends up being such a negative thing? So what's being threatened by unveiling? You know, one obvious answer is false beliefs. So that's basically what I had to share.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Paul. That's a great reminder. If you've been around Corelight a long time, you know the four archetypes, the four primary archetypes that Leslie taught us about are victim, tyrant, rebel, and savior. And they all play opposites to each other. So, Paul, I appreciate you bringing that up. And reminder for many of us, but for people, if you're a little newer, you know, as you dive deeper into the Corelight teachings, you'll learn more about those four archetypes. And it's very important to remember all of them because they all go together. And the temptation is, the main one, I think, is victim-tyrant, but victims also tend to look for a savior, right? Mm-hmm. We're looking for a political figure or a religious figure or a celebrity or somebody who's going to save us. Parent, somebody in authority who's good, because the tyrant is the authority who's bad.
Or to try to step into the role of the savior oneself.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's also important. Especially those of us on a spiritual path whose pattern is to do that all the time. We tend to want to save everybody. And really the truth is we're projecting our own victim out onto the world and trying to save ourselves.
Yes, right? Yes, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So good reminder, Paul. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes, Paul, and that rebel piece is probably the trickiest of all. Mm. It's just so subtle in its acting out, and when we can catch that rebel part of us, it can really shift our consciousness. So I really appreciate what you're bringing up here with the rebel and the savior, and also the piece about the apocalypse and asking the question, mm-hmm. you know, about what is it that is needing to be unveiled. I think
right.
That's a great question for all of us to be looking at, because you know, so much of this shadow has been held in the unconscious, and as this apocalypse is coming, we're really being drawn very directly into the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no past or future, there's only now. And what is it that we've been unwilling to see or unwilling to look at that is now present for us each in this present moment? So thank you so much, Paul. That was really a lot of information and in a very brief way. So really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
And also, you know, as I think about what you said, Paul, beautifully said about the apocalypse, let's just talk about it for another moment. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That is the question, what is being revealed right now? And I feel what's really clear is that we're all here to observe what's really being shown in high relief, and that is the shadow side. We're being shown very clearly the corruption, the greed, the power mongering. You know, it's the last gasp of the patriarchy. And boy, is it playing out in high relief for all of us to see the destruction, the hatred, the anger, violence, you know, war, all of it. So this is our great opportunity as all of this is being revealed, that we get to watch it and name it and witness it and process it and feel the grief as we watch the destruction and feel the anger pass through and feel whatever we need to feel, but to let it pass through and to really essentially, you know, the bottom line is to move into the heart. And ultimately, that's what's being revealed, is the heart. We're revealing it in ourselves. We're, as we pass through this thick layer of shadow, the whole world is invited to live in the heart, to reveal that love that's behind everything. It's what everything is made of. So, you know, ultimately, I remember a teaching of Leslie's that I experienced really very viscerally at one point, and so I'll bring it up here because it applies. Leslie always told us that the Shishumna, the core of light that runs down the center of each of our bodies, it's the core of enlightenment within each one of us. So she said that that core of light is surrounded by kind of a black, thick black, leathery, tarry substance. If you could see it as you could see the subtle body as a clairvoyant sees it, you see that. And it's essentially what keeps us from living fully in our divine selves all the time. It's the belief in separation, let's say. It's the belief that we're disconnected from source. And it's that thick layer of black stuff that keeps us feeling separate from our divine self and our love, and from each other and from the earth. And I had this experience once in meditation where I went down into the deepest, darkest shadow that I've ever experienced in my life. It was so intense, I thought I was going insane. And I knew that I had to focus very intensely on the cave of Brahman and to pull out my most valuable meditation tools to witness and be really perfectly centered in that core, to not buy into the shadow, the deep shadow emotions that were passing through me. And I held it and held it and held it for a long time in meditation, and then suddenly I popped into the light. And it was the most beautiful, blissful white light experience I've ever had in my life. One of them, one of the few that I've had. And what I remembered that helped get me through that was this teaching of Leslie's about how the Shishumna is surrounded by this black stuff. And it's literally the darkest hours before the dawn. You know, if we can just persist and get through the shadow, not buying into it, not reacting to it, but letting it be revealed, as you said so beautifully, Paul, letting the apocalypse, quote-unquote, happen, just witnessing those negative states, feeling what we need to feel, not buying into them, and remembering who we are throughout it, remembering that we are the witness, we are the love, we are the light, we are the core. And eventually, it finishes. It's not infinite, it's finite. And that's the key. I remember Leslie taught us that long ago. The shadow is not infinite, it's finite. So we get to the end of it. And then when we're at the end of it, we pop into the light. So I feel like it's that little experience that I had that is a metaphor for what we're all going through right now, this teaching of Leslie's about the Shishumna and the tarry substance around it. This is the metaphor for what we're all experiencing right now with, as you called it, the apocalypse. So apocalypse, I would say, has this very negative connotation in our culture. It feels like it's some kind of Christian Armageddon, and, you know, we expect a rapture to happen where we get taken up to a cloud in our pajamas. You know, we leave our pajamas behind and we get to the cloud. And we watch everybody down below on earth burning in hell or something. That's when you say the word apocalypse, that's what most people think of. But really, I like what Paul's saying about the true meaning. That what is it that's being revealed here? And we're seeing what's being revealed. This is our opportunity to witness that revelation and move into the light in the heart.
Yes.
So thank you again, Paul.
Thanks.
Thanks, Paul. And it's reminding me of Leslie's teaching also of Homer's painting of the storm and how we are to latch ourselves to the mast. Turner. I always say Homer. Turner. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Turner's the storm.
Yeah, this is the great image. Yeah, strapping himself to the mast. Yeah.
And I talked with someone the other day, it was a day when we were having these really intense storms here in Northern California, and she was saying that, rather than driving, she walked somewhere that she needed to go with her umbrella, and she said she was actually elated by the wildness of nature and the storm, and even though her umbrella was turned inside out and she was being pummeled by the rain, it felt exhilarating rather than fear-based. So there's that, you know, fine edge, if you will, between that exhilaration and that tremendous fear of the storm. So I thought that was a wonderful image that she was sharing with me, to really be in that wildness. That was her word, the wildness of it. To not feel separate from it, to be one with it.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. So, Brad, we have a couple of responses on the web. And
okay,
one,
great.
Yeah, one is from Kathy Stanley, and she says, the astrology of 2020 with Saturn, Pluto, Jupiter is going to be super intense, and we need to be ready for it. The shamanic astrology website has a lot on this. And there's also Stephanie Austin has a wonderful astrology as well. She does full moon and new moon astrology. And there's also another website that's called Hair in the Moon, H-A-R-E, Hair in the Moon Astrology by Lorna Bevan. And she's amazing. She's from England, and she just writes exquisitely. And she is writing all about these times. So if this is something that interests anyone, this is the Saturn-Pluto alignment that I talked about that hasn't occurred since Nostradamus. So you can tell that we are going through a huge radical shift. Like we need to be told that, like we're not already feeling it. But thank you for the reminder. But one of the things that she says in her report is for the year ahead is about grace and grit. That there's a grace and that there's grit that is needed during these times. And it says we were made for these times. For years we have been learning, practicing, been in training for, and just waiting to meet on this exact plane of engagement. So that's Clarissa Pinkola Estes. She wrote Women Who Run with Wolves, along with some other wonderful writings, but I just thought that is something that we're all needing to hear and be be reminded of. And I'll just read just a tiny little bit more. She says 2019 to 2020 are watershed years, marking a definitive break with the past, when choices made now will set your direction until Pluto enters far-seeing futurist Aquarius in 2023. This is your guide to leaving the past behind, turning your face towards the future, and resourcing yourself for a year-long walk between two great lines of force. So I found
beautiful.
That to be extremely helpful. Yes.
Yeah, that is helpful.
Yeah.
And I want to add to that.
Yeah.
What I'm feeling is what feels really important for all of us is to remember that we are each needed right now. This is our time. You know, most of us on these calls have been doing this spiritual work for a long time, and we are really needed right now. You, whoever you are on this call, if you're listening to this, you are needed. And whatever capacity you can show up to help other people, to share your love, to offer your gifts, whatever it is, now's the time. And we all have something to offer. We've all got our own different gifts. So we need a million different people giving a million different aspects. So it doesn't matter. I know the tendency is for each of us to think, well, we don't have that much to offer. Well, we're not far enough along, so there's not that much we can do. Or we don't make much of a difference. You know, we're stuck in a job and we don't see many people. Or we're teaching or we're healing, doing our healing work or whatever it is, but we don't see many people. And that is not the truth. The truth of the situation is that we're each exactly where we need to be, and we're with all the people we need to be with. Anybody that's in your orbit is there for a reason, and you have a tremendous capacity to affect them with something simple like a smile or a kind gesture or an act of love or a little word of wisdom. There's so many people in need right now, and God bless them. You know, if they don't have the spiritual tools, if they don't have the knowledge of why things are the way they are, why is this destruction happening? Why is there so much violence and chaos in the world? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much fear? You can help that person just by shining your light in their world, and you're a model. You're a model of whatever love and wisdom you can hold to any degree. You're modeling for those people. And you may be their anchor. You know, you may be the one thing that's keeping them tethered to earth. You know, you don't know. So I want to share that just because it feels so important that we each remember that and to not buy into any thought forms you might be having that you're not doing enough or you can't give enough or whatever we tend to beat ourselves up with. We tend to diminish ourselves. And truthfully, the tendency for most humans is to discount our own gifts. The things that we do well, we take for granted because they come so easily to us. So we don't think they're worth very much. And we tend to feel we're worthless, not valuable. So just a reminder that you're needed, you're valuable, and you have great gifts to offer every single person on this call.
Beautiful, beautiful, okay. Brad.
I'm off. Yeah. Getting off my soapbox now.
That was wonderful, and it's about an energetic frequency that we each transmit, and the more we're able to stay in our center and transmit that calming inner peace, others will then be able to, and I'm not sure what the correct word is, align or entrain. You know, it's like plucking that string of that instrument and how the vibratory frequencies all align with that note. And so I think what you're saying, Brad, is really key, critical to the times that we're in. and that, you know, we can't have one set of words coming out of our mouth and a different vibratory frequency held in the body. So if we're talking calmness and peace out of our mouth, but our bodies are resonating fear and worry, they're not congruent. And so we're really being asked to align all of our subtle bodies so that they come into this place of calm and peace. We can help with that. I mean, that just would make a world of difference if we were able to be in that state of consciousness. You know, that's what we're really talking about, is the tipping point or the 100th monkey, when there are enough of us who can hold that state of consciousness so that we can shift. And interestingly enough, here's a share from Tia that sort of speaks to that. She says, "I feel what Brad spoke of is unable to tap." I'm not really sure what she's talking about here, but indeed cannot survive in the heart energy of compassion and unconditional love. Maybe she's talking about the fear and anger. And so it is the inner work for each of us to bring these heart energies to, quote, other people in our lives, other human beings like family members, friends or neighbors, co-workers, whoever, as it is displayed by the creational force in our own individuated lives. It is the gift to bring to our collective energy field, this heart energy. And then she says, also, I encourage all Americans to host a house concert. Find musicians in your area and have them perform in your home and invite a couple dozen people. Ask them to donate $10 or so to pay the musicians, or throw art parties where you supply paint and canvases, potluck dinners, etc. Joy lifting, the division energy, the enemy, if you will, cannot exist in heart energy. Love and blessings to everyone. That's Tia. Beautiful.
Yay, Tia. I love it. How beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love it. Yes. And this is the holidays are the perfect time for that.
Perfect
right?
time. Perfect time.
Wonderful.
For our hearts to fully open. And I know that Tia is an amazing musician, and she walks her talk. And she performs, you know, all over, bringing all of this joy and heart opening to so many. So we thank you, Tia, for your gifts.
Thank you, Tia.
And your share.
Yeah, joy is the antidote to so much that's going on our planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
The more we can practice joy, the more we model that spiritual energy. You know, joy, as we say, is the ultimate fulfillment of the spiritual journey. So the more we can be in it, you know, the more we can be in that, the more we model those qualities. Even if it's a challenging time, we can still be in the joy.
Yes. And find it wherever and however. Yes.
Yeah. Find opportunities to laugh and celebrate and sing. This is the antidote.
It is. And we have one other comment on the web from Lane. And Lane says, so grateful for Brad's insights about the energies experienced coming into the country. I just wanted to offer that the United States is in a Pluto return period in its own natal chart. And there is a heavily intense transit, this makes sense, conjunction of Pluto, Saturn, Mercury, the Sun, Jupiter, Ceres in Capricorn in January 2020. Uranus's native sign is Aquarius rather than Taurus. The latter is a Venus-governed Earth sign whose energy is typically quite opposite that of Uranus. Oh, good. Thank you for that. This is all to say that astrologically, especially for America and Saudi Arabia, things will be intense for some time, at least through 2022. So thank you, Lane, for that.
Yes, thank you. I want to throw something else into the mix here, and that's what's happening in Brazil. I know we have a number of people from Brazil who join us on these calls, and, you know, Leslie and I have spent a lot of time in Brazil. The retreat that's coming up here in South Africa in a week is half Brazilian. And what they're going through may be more intense than what's happening in America. I don't want to get into the details, but I just want to say to any Brazilians who might be with us, you know, you're not alone. Yes, you're experiencing your own flavor of the shadow, and it's very, very, very intense where you are. It's especially scary there because this leader who's now in power, because Brazil is a kind of a fledgling democracy, you know, it was a dictatorship just 30 years ago, this new leader has the capacity to do things like dissolve the Supreme Court and, take powers away from Congress and so forth. And so he can really do a lot of damage there where, you know, at least in the U.S., there's still some semblance of order and no one person has all that power. So I want to honor what you're going through in Brazil, and I would invite all of us on this call to keep Brazil, especially in our thoughts and prayers. People there are in extreme fear. It's very severe there, the fear quotient. So please do hold Brazil in your prayers. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, so Brad, I don't see any other hands raised. If anyone would like to share, it's star 2 to raise your hand.
Yeah, we still have a few moments left. Please share, really. You know, this is our time as a community. This is our opportunity to become of one mind and one heart. So we invite you to share.
Yes. Yes. And Alana on the web says, live in joy, even though you have all the facts. I really like that.
That's great. Yes. That should be a bumper sticker. Did you make that up, Alana, or is that a bumper sticker?
Yeah, we have to ask you, Alana. You'll have to respond, but that's beautiful. Live in joy, even though you have all the facts. Yes. Okay, so we have a couple. Yeah, we do have a couple hands raised. And so the first one, I believe, is June. June? Oh, here
you
go. You have the mic. Yep.
When Brad was talking about Brazil, and we had heard some stuff through Charu as well, so we knew what was going on. One of the things that occurred to me is part of this doesn't surprise me. And the reason being is because it's a place that Leslie has been, and there's been so many people drawn to the work and doing the work most diligently. Mm-hmm. And it's raised the light. And, of course, when the light raises, at some point, the dark is going to raise too. And so
makes sense, June. Thank you.
Really a testament as to the amount of work that they have really done, that this sort of force has to come back up to meet it.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. Good insight. And, you know, I would just add to what you say real quickly that Brazil, in my opinion, holds the heart for the earth. It's a very, very heart-centered culture. And so this is their test. This is their challenge to face that level of conservatism and destruction with the heart, to hold the heart through it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole idea, is that the answer to all of it is love. And that's their ace in the hole. That's the ace up the sleeve. I mean, they have that in spades.
Yeah.
And
true.
And so, it was just an observation.
Well, it's good. It's a great observation, and I guess it's also a modeling for all of us in whatever country you're from, especially, you know, most of us are from the U.S., so it's a modeling for us that this is our opportunity to hold the heart, just
exactly.
as it is for them. Yeah. To not,
beautiful.
Not buy into the blame and the shadow and the, you know, we can be pushed down into depression. We can be pushed down into all kinds of negative states because of what's going on. And we need to remember to get back into the heart and the love.
Well, and it's the thing I think is that it's so difficult is because they do live in the heart and they're being presented with this. And so some of them are feeling this extreme fear really for the first time. In this way, and it's how do you deal with it? And the thing is in the same way you've dealt with everything else, that your answer it all goes back to the love, and I think that they are going to find a way to get back at just living in that heart state, because the other stuff cannot live there, and it will
right.
I don't want to say it would be vanquished, but it'll be diminished. It can't thrive.
Yep.
So, you know, it's the answer. And I say that for myself more, as much as for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, we each get to experience that in our own little microcosm every day, right?
Exactly.
Well, and it's the outer mirroring our own inner. And so can we love all parts of ourselves, even the most fear-based, heinous darkest, deepest shadow parts.
Yeah, and that's the
work.
Question.
That is the work. Exactly.
Yep. Beautiful. Wow. Thank you.
Beautiful.
Brilliant insight. So much.
Yes. Thanks, June. Okay, and we have another hand, and that's Linda Peters. Linda, you have the mic.
Thank you. I wanted to thank Tia for her contribution about hosting music and art and things like that that are just inherently joyful. What I have found in this last few months in my life, which have been filled with some, you know, personally very, very, very difficult things. My daughter died and just a short, one of my daughters. And then that was shortly followed by the sudden death of the husband of one of my nieces. And I feel like I've been hit so hard with so much personal grief that after, you know, a lifetime of being pretty involved in social and civic and political activities, it's been very hard for me to be plunged into such an intensity of personal stuff to deal with. I can't work it out in meetings with other people, but what I have found is that what I still have innately a capability for is my music, singing and piano, and I can sit down at the piano and play things. They still just come. My fingers still remember how to make the chords for practically every song I ever knew.
Wow.
And I'm being given opportunities to do that. I'm down here in Baja in a community that's a lot of during the winter is full of a lot of Americans and Canadians who are retirees like me, and there are a couple of places where it's possible to play the piano and people dance or they sing or they ask for things that they want to hear. And I feel very blessed that I've had this kind of an outlet, this way of relating to other people around me, even though it's kind of an escapist sort of community in itself. there's still some very genuine kinds of connection going on here, and my music has been a way that I've been able to sort of restore some wholeness and some balance into my life, and maybe it spreads a little joy to other people too. It seems to.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
That was
Linda.
Nice.
Yeah. Music is crucial, really crucial. I'm so glad that you have that.
Yep.
And it's true for all of us. Even if you don't play an instrument, you can sing along. You know, sing along with your favorite song. I do that every day in the car whenever I'm driving.
Maybe you're losing me too. I don't know. No, we can hear you, Linda. We can hear you. Sorry if you're losing us, but
it was getting garbled coming back.
Was it? Is it sounding better now, Linda?
Oops. It is.
Okay, we might have lost.
But
you,
I think I'm through.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
Thank you so much.
I just
great to hear
wanted
from you.
To share that.
Thank you for sharing that, Linda.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're so welcome.
Yes, in our deepest grief, where we can share our gifts with others, is such a healing. Giving in that way is receiving. So I'm so sorry for your loss, Linda, and I'm honoring you in your journey of your willingness to share your gifts with others through your grief. So thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. It's nice to
contact
with all of the Core Light people.
Yes, Linda. We're sending our love to you and surrounding you in so much love and light during these times.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Namaste and love to all of you.
Namaste and love to you too, Linda.
Love you, Linda.
Thank you, Brad. I love you.
Okay, so how are we doing on time, Brad? We do have a couple more hands, so are we okay to keep
going
here?
Yeah, we have time. We have 10, 15
Perfect.
Minutes, so let's go for it.
Okay, good. All right, so the next hand raised is Mariflor. Mariflor, you have...
Yes, hi. Thank you. Hi, Barbara. Hi, Brad, and hi, everyone.
Hello.
And my my condolences for the loss of your daughter. I've been keeping her in my prayers, and also hi to Leslie. I wanted to give the group a little update because I hesitated, but I felt that it might be good to update the group. So, as you know, I'll make this very brief. I have had this ongoing, difficult, painful situation at my job for 4 years. Where I sued my employer and had to do several suits, depleting all my finances and being harassed to the point of sometimes honestly suicidal thoughts because there was so much pain. And my life was really been on hold basically the last 4 years because it would consume me with loss of energy and heart-wrenching. But I believe I had shared with the group that I was led inwardly when the problem started. I felt like leaving, and I couldn't find a job. And I was led to stay put through this. And I've been, this is also why I wanted to speak about the testimony about Core Light. I've been faithfully doing, you know, maybe hundreds of squares and working with a Core Light mentor, and Barbara, Brad, a number of people, Gary, have supported me. And my heart was really very sincere about looking at the shadow. And when I say shadow, I say this with love. What was it in me that really had brought all of this? Not in a sense of guilt, but in a sense of wanting to understand. And as I processed, there would be sometimes periods of breaks in the torture, but then it would come back again. And about 10 days ago, it kind of reached a climax at work where they called me in an office. I think I had mentioned that I was the only a minority attorney and only minority black woman out of 50-something attorneys. Since I filed for the lawsuit, 3 to 5 males, white males, would regularly call me in a meeting to close the door, tell me I don't know how to work, how to write. And, you know, it was like I had descended in pure hell. And the last time they called me was about 10 days ago, and I thought my heart was going to stop. And about 3 weeks ago, I moved. I now live in an apartment where it's on the 7th floor, and I was in so much pain. And I went on the balcony. It was about a month ago, and I said, I can't take this pain anymore. Let me jump. And it was so much. And I thought of, you know, my commitment to the truth. I thought of my family. I thought of all the effort I had made, and I literally was on my knees, and I could feel this pull to kill myself. And I was on my knees, and I said, God, give me. I know I'm getting close, but it's like I cannot make the last meters of this marathon. So the prayers and calling on my angel, I was able to pull myself away from the balcony. And also, so that you don't get worried, I've been going through, you know, a psychotherapist, so I'm being followed. But I was able to pull myself back from the balcony and decide, okay, I'll see. So they called me after this thing. They called me in an office, and they tell me, you know, they hadn't been giving me any work to push me out. And I was told in meditation, you need to bring this up, that you have not been given work. So I brought this to the attention of, you know, the powers to be. For 4 years, I've been paid. I've been asking for work. They don't give me work. When I find work, they tell me to close the cases. So I brought it. And so the management, who justify, I guess they felt they were cornered, called me in an office and said, you know, you haven't been doing anything for, and you are just, your performance is going down. So we are giving you a week. You've got to do this, and it's the work that they give me. Something you need about a year to do. You a week, and if you don't do it, we are going to put you on a performance plan and terminate you. So I remained very calm. I looked at the three of them, and I went to my desk, and I said, "It's humanly impossible." And I sat down, and I prayed, and I prayed. And a voice said, you can do it. You can do it. So I came home. I prayed, took my computer, and I don't know, the device went into my shushumna. I don't know what happened. I was able to do that work in a week. And
wow.
I handed it over. And then clarity came. Clarity came.
Yes.
And I said to myself, even if they paid me $1 billion, I cannot stay in this job anymore. And I said, but what will I do? Where do I go? Because they had given me very bad evaluations. I don't have money to. It was like, you know, and I said, God, what do I do? And I prayed and I prayed. And my lawyer said, okay, at least they cannot fire you right now. You may have a few months, but they're going to try. And I said, I don't want to yield to fear. I don't want to yield to fear. I don't know what's going to happen. So I continued doing squares upon squares, fear of being fired. I mean, I did all kinds of squares, but my heart was sincere. And then I remembered about an archangel who is the archangel called Raguel. He's the archangel of justice. I called also Michael. And I said, I have tried to bring justice to this thing. And it's been nothing but injustice. And I said, I don't even know if there is a God. And one of my spiritual mentors said to me, you know, for you to have hung on like that, it means you have a lot of faith in God. And that sentence surprised me. And I said, you think I do? She said, yes. Because only somebody who has faith in God would have who have continued with this lawsuit the way you have and depleted everything. There is a deep trust you have in the divine. And it just switched things for me when she said that. And after that, that's when I remembered the archangels and I called on them. And I said, show me the way. I know I have something to do on this planet. I don't want to take my own life. I've done my best. And show me the way. And what the angels showed me was that, the archangel showed me, was that they got me to a place. And I guess that's when I kind of knew I had really cleared, God Light had helped me to clear a big chunk of my karma. I got to a place where I realized, I don't know how to say it in words, that it did not matter whether justice was being made or not. And I never thought I would get to that point where I would not care about whether they were held accountable, whether their cruelty was brought to justice, were brought to light. All of a sudden, I reached a point where I said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they ever pay for this or never pay for this. It doesn't matter if they leave this thing victorious. None of this matters. All that matters to me is I can end this in a smooth way, find peace, and open a door, and know what's my next step. And at that point, my lawyer sent me an email, and he said, their lawyer is asking if we can settle this case. And
ooh.
I almost fell on the floor. And 2 minutes later,
wow.
Brad sent me an email, and he said, Marie Flor, would you mind contributing? 2 minutes after I got this email from my lawyer, Brad sent me an email and said, do you mind contributing a little bit next year, as there would be some donations matched? And my bank account was like completely depleted when I got Brad's email. But I got Brad's email 2 minutes after their lawyer contacted my lawyer. And
wow.
That is when they had told me they were going to terminate me. So I was saying this to say that sometimes there's no justice for human justice with the eyes. Sometimes people will torture us, take us to the point of almost suicide. And sometimes we cannot humanly make it whole. We cannot. It doesn't make sense. And sometimes we are humanly defeated. But when the heart is genuine, I was genuinely wanting to clear the victim, the tyrant, the rebel, and the savior. My heart had been sincere. So since I became a Core Light member the last 2 years with my mentor, my heart really wanted to clear that from my system. And the top of this came when they said, we are terminating you. That was 10 days ago.
Yes.
And we are going to terminate you if you don't meet this deadline. And my mother said, it's inhumane. It's inhumane. And I also did think, when they said they gave me the deadline, I forgot to say, when I got home, I sat and I said, God, it looks my time has come to leave, but I want to do this last impossible deadline. I want to do this assignment with nothing but love, with all the love I can put in this. And I want you to put all the love of the universe in me, in trying to meet these impossible deadlines. And my commitment to love in trying to meet something that was not humanly feasible, I think is what allowed me to meet this impossible commitment. The spirit flowed through me and did it. So I wanted to encourage everyone on the call, when things are very hard, to really believe in the teachings. Call Light does work. And even when we think it doesn't work, the continuous processing, the continuous squares. Even when you think humanly nothing can be done, but if we, we really ask for the help of Leslie, I also ask Leslie help a lot in spirit. I ask her to help me through those 2 years, and she did come through for me. And that it does work. I still do not know what's going to happen, but I know that this is ending in a way that that I was able to surrender my attachment to justice. And I think this is something I never thought I would be able to do. I work for the Department of Justice. I was treated with the utmost injustice, yet in the end, I'm able to say, I am letting go of justice. I do not care about them being punished. I just want peace for everybody. And I want the highest for all concerned. And for me to have been able to get to that point in this lifetime is nothing but a miracle. So I wanted to share that with everyone. Thank you.
Marie Flor, thank you so much. How beautiful. What a wonderful sharing. And, you know, what I see happen to you is that you had your breakthrough. You had the spiritual, mental, emotional breakthrough that you worked so hard for so long. And that job was the perfect thing to push you into that breakthrough. And you weathered the storm and you got through it. And as soon as you got through it, 2 minutes later, you got that email. So saying that it was over, or it's going to be over soon. So that's a sign, you know, that's a message for you. And I'm just so grateful that you've shared this with us and that, you know, you've been such a strong, pioneering woman in that position to work in that environment and do what you did is extraordinary. I've told you this many times, you're a very powerful woman. So God bless you for doing what you do. I really honor you. I bow to you for getting through this intact and clearing whatever you needed to clear. And you're doing it not just for yourself, but for the collective. You know, you've made a big, big difference in the world. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you to you and to everyone. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Marie Flor. And we're so grateful to you for all that you have shared with us all along the way, and for the courage and for the tremendous faith that you have. You have been extremely exemplary in this journey. So we continue to hold you, Marie Flor, as you come through this big completion of this massive test that you have gone through. You've walked through the fire. We love you so much, Marie Flor.
Thank you, Papa. Thank you.
Yeah, do keep us posted. We've really, I think everybody on this call that has been following your story, we're all keeping you in our thoughts and prayers, and we want to stay posted. So do let us know how this goes for you, okay?
Yes, I will. Thank you. And thank you to Leslie as well. Please thank her for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'll make sure she knows.
Yes, thank you.
Much love. Much love to you. Okay, Brad. I think we
are
complete.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. We're at the end of our time, and we'll just have a very brief. We've gone over a little bit, so we'll just have a very brief 1 or 2 minute closing with a prayer. And I want to say thank you to everybody for joining us today. This has really been delightful and powerful. And like I said before, we haven't set the dates for the next call, but we will in January, and we'll send you an email just as soon as we know. So we look forward to seeing you next year.
Have blessed holidays, everyone. Yes, and we'll see you on the Squares call on the 16th of December.
Yes. And, yeah, thank you for reminding me, Barbara. In South Africa, we don't celebrate the holidays like we do in the U.S. It's kind of a sometimes it's a non-event here. People just hang out in the heat by the pool. So it's not like there's snow and Christmas and lights and Hanukkah and all the fun. You know, it's much more low-key. So I actually forgot about it. So thank you, and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah to everybody, Kwanzaa, and Happy New Year. We'll be, and happy solstice. We'll be sending out some messages to wish you happy holidays and happy solstice. And just know, Leslie and I, we love you so much. We just love this community so much. And we're really sending you our love all the time. Bless you. Okay, so Barbara, thank you for today. And we invite everybody just to close your eyes and get comfortable for a couple of minutes while we close out. And take a few long, deep breaths. And just let go and relax. Let go of any mental, emotional stirring that might have happened from our conversations. And just breathe in the light. Breathe out any tension or shadow. Receive the light with the inhale. Exhale any worries about the past or the future. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are, all of the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We give thanks for this time together. We give thanks for the love that we share, for this beautiful field of light that we get to participate in as a community. We give thanks for the love and support to the invisible realms. Let's all visualize the circle again, all of us holding hands in a circle. Visualize the earth in the center of our circle. We're surrounding this beloved, beautiful blue planet of ours. And let's put our hearts right in the center with the earth. We merge our hearts with the earth and pour our love into every single living being on this planet. Humans, animals, plants, rocks, minerals, nature. We send our love, all that exists, and with deep, deep, deep gratitude, we complete our call for today, giving great thanks for the opportunity to be on this beautiful planet, even though it's very challenging right now, to wear these bodies, to hold each other's hands, to keep this company of the holy, share our love with each other. Deep, deep gratitude for each other, for all the gifts that we receive, for all the abundance in our lives. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Aho. Sending all my love to you. Looking forward to when we meet again in the new year. Blessings, everybody.